Some of this subject matter that I'm going to be sharing this morning is from the Shift Conference. How many here remember Shift? Shift happens. It's happening. Oh, it's really appreciate Jeremy and the media team that we have back there making things so available right at our fingertips. Yes. How easy it is to get some of this material. I don't know if you're like me, but I can't get everything at once. You know, in high school, it took me a while to grab concepts and ideas. So on the website, if you go to United Team International, here's our homepage right here. It's got the conference. You scroll down, and you can see right there, we still have on the front page the Shift. You click on Shift, and you look down, and you go through every night we had on the Shift. And the ones that we are talking about here are Peter McHugh's. It starts on Friday night, and then it goes through Saturday and then Sunday morning. Peter McHugh came here from Australia, Stairway Church, a fantastic work going on in Australia. The man has gone through a lot in his own personal life to come to some powerful revelation about who we are in Christ. And another, you know, sometimes I'm marveled by the people that actually come into this building. I say, Lord Jesus, wow. This is really connected to Bill Johnson. One of the books that he wrote is called Priorities, Discipleship Making in the 21st Century Church, okay? So some of what we're going to share is going to start something, but you cannot go over all that material. It's very difficult to absorb something. When you get a fire, it's like, well, what can I do to keep this going? What can I do? Well, you got the website right there on the three nights, plus in the bookstore, we do have this book. It's called Discipleship Making. I'm going to be touching on some of that stuff here. So I wanted to point that out. So because afterwards, you're going to be stirred up, you're going to be fired, and there's some tools that we just continue on and from that. So amen. Father God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Come on. I thank you for the Spirit of God that rules and reigns in this place. Father, you said you'd send your Spirit to guide us into all truth. So this morning, Father God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit to be speaking and guiding every single one of us into all truth. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
So we have been working on 11 things to change your life. And I want to talk about number 3 this morning. To receive a life coach, to bring people into understanding. That's part 3. And on there, there's a scripture, and if you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. I'm actually going to start on verse 18, and I'm going to go through verse 20. The book is properly entitled Priorities. And sometimes in life, it's just about getting priorities and things aligned. And one of the prophetic words that came in the beginning of this year is Dave Wagner said, I'm bringing my church into alignment. I'm bringing my church into alignment and getting priorities in our life and looking at first things. And another thing in here is read the one-year Bible. Fantastic thing for getting our priorities straight and coming into alignment with what God says we are. It's this huge key. So let's go to Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, say therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, say teaching them, to obey everything I have commanded you. And as surely I am with you always, to the very end of this age. Teaching them to observe things whatsoever I have commanded you. I'm with you always. Teaching them to observe all that I have teach. The word teach there is regularly focus on. Making this a constant thing. Regularly focusing on the things that I have that to teach them to follow. Regularly come to this point, always. Teach them to observe what? What do we need to teach? What I have commanded you. And this is where Peter McHugh goes into what Jesus commanded. And this is a verse that in the Bible that I read over a lot, but I never grabbed the concept. And what Peter McHugh is trying to bring us in is to the New Testament church. The New Testament church and how the church creates disciples and how the church does relationship. So Jesus said here, regularly focus on, teach regularly, teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. That word observe there means to obey. And he did the research on that, and this is in also the lesson, is to guard from loss by keeping your eye on. Guard from loss by continually reminding them of what? All that I have commanded you. And here's the scripture. We're going to go to 1 John 15 and 12, and then we're going to, or not 1 John, but John 15, 12, and John 13, 34. But this is something that is when he says focus on the center hub, and I love the analogy that he used, that from this place is how we do everything else. From this place is the center hub, is how we think about offerings, is how we worship, it's how we do programs. It's all about an ends to a mean. It's not a means to themselves. He said, this is the center point. This is what Jesus said. Always continually come. Guard from loss by always continually teaching them all that I have commanded you. And I think it's important to understand what Jesus was talking about, what I have commanded you. So Peter McHugh went to these scriptures here. In John 15, 12, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And he pointed out the difference. We know the one commandment is to love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. Right? And to all these things. One is talking about as much as I can. I'm going to love as much as I can. The second one that Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, what was the new information? And I've read this scripture many times, but when he pointed this out, he says, this is my commandment. In John 13, 34, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I loved you, that also you should love one another. Continually go back to the teaching, that all that I've commanded you. Go to a place to protect from loss, to walk and to guard from loss. Continue to put this in the front of everything that you're teaching. Let this be the center hub of everything that we do. Is this center hub right here? Go to continually come back to that, to love as I have loved you. One has to do, to love the Lord to God with all my heart and soul, has to do as much as I can do. That's about as much of my performance. The other one has to do with grace. Right? How much love have you received from Jesus? What did you receive? When you became born again last week, or a couple weeks ago, right? What happened to you? How did you get there? Was it because I worked hard? Did I earn it? Did I deserve it? This whole thing that ushered in a new way of how we do our spiritual life. Remember he talked about what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. This is a great lesson. I can't go over all of that. I want to bring it here today to say, let's remember the center hub of how we work with people and train. If we want to guard from loss, we do not want to lose this huge key about how we do ministry with one another and how we live life with one another. Jesus gave, he said, continually always go this. When you go out, do not forget about what I command you. I command you, now this is a commandment. I command you to love one another as I have loved you. How did I love you? How did I love you in the midst of your worst mistakes, when you didn't even love yourself? How did I love you, regardless of whether you acknowledged me or not? How did I love you, despite the fact that you didn't even say you're sorry? How did I love you when you turned your back on? How did I love you, Judas, when you betrayed me? How do I love someone when I've been stabbed in the back? How do I love them? How have you been loved? And the reality of this is something that you've received. I mean, we did. This is something that you have. This is something that you've been given. And part of our walking in a Christian life is that we would give that which we have received. And this guards us from loss. Jesus said, continually go to the center of what everything, the focal point of Christianity, focal point of our life, is that God loved us so much. When we were singing this morning, did you hear the love songs? Did you hear the song? This is my testimony. The love of Jesus changed my life. Now, it's not something that when you go to the center and you say, hey, God's love changed my life, that I don't have to persuade anybody out of that. I don't have to persuade you to not talk about it or say that it's something that would naturally just want to flow out of me. You know what changed my life? You go up to the gas station and say, hey, you know what the greatest thing that ever happened to me is? Jesus Christ. Oh, really? Oh. Icebreaker. Continually teach them to obey, to guard from loss. Part of our Christian walk in life, it's almost like we're incomplete unless we receive and we begin to exercise this in our lives. Because the love of God, to walk the life of Jesus was to walk continually giving and pouring out. The kingdom of God would come through him and come through and it would flow. And so many times in life, and this is what Peter McHugh hears, is that when information comes at us, immediately we stop flow. We stop the flow. We tense up and we say no. I guard from loss by shutting myself off from the, and that's what, totally opposite of what Jesus does. That's a totally opposite of how the kingdom of heaven works. And Jesus said, you received something, you became a changed person because you experienced a love that was unconditional, even though you didn't deserve it. You continue to be inundated with love. And we sing that song, it's like a freight train. A freight train doesn't stop. You ever stand in front of a freight train? No, you wouldn't, because you'd get ran over. And if love is like a freight train, it completely takes you off your feet and carries you somewhere else. This is the love that received. This is the love that continues to pour out, that breaks the chains that bind people. It broke my chains. When I knew that I was loved regardless of my behavior, it took away all the fear away of my performance. Well, how many people are going to show up at church? Or whether if I work with this guy, if I'm going to work with this guy and I pour him out and he doesn't accept it, that means I'm a failure. And I have a fear of rejection, because if I don't have so many people show up, that means we're not doing well. Rather than that scripture where Jesus says, remember where Jesus says, hey, if you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. You did it unto me. Why was I doing this in the first place? What was the center hub of my source? What was the center focus of my life? What was that was in the middle, that was the where I did everything, where I did ministry, the love of God? Where was that at? It was always there, and that's where I did everything from. So regardless of how Danny receives all the brilliant revelation I'm giving to him right now, he goes out that door and goes back and doing whatever.
He wouldn't do that.
He wouldn't. Might. What? Am I going to lose? Am I going to lose that which I have found because of what other people do with what I give them? No, because what I found didn't come from Danny. I love you, Danny, but you're just not good enough. No, you are. The love of Jesus. I didn't get it from him. I didn't get my assurance from him. I don't get my assurance and my acceptance from all you guys here this morning say, wow, what a great sermon Tom had today. Though you can tell me that if you want. Oh. Doesn't matter. Because I know God loved me so much that what I'm doing, I will do to the least of them because I'm doing it unto him. Because he did it unto me. And that whole thing is a game changer. That is the experienced love of God that we walk in. So when we bring people into something, we're not bringing them to a teaching per se from the Bible. We're bringing them into an experience and sharing an experience, a testimony, as we were singing, with them. So many times when I do ministry, I just talk about my life. Just last week, we were talking about our life with somebody. And what we did when we felt the storms of life come out, and where we went to and where we ran to, you know what? It was back to that circle again. It wasn't like, hey, I took this teaching and the word and I just stood on it. It wasn't legalism. It was a love. It was a place where the shelter of God's love. It's where we knew where God would move in our hearts, and he took care and he changed everything, right? So we're extending what we receive. In there, in Acts 1, verse 8, it's also on your cards, these scriptures. But the Bible says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What is Jesus saying? What is that power for? To be his witnesses. He's equipped us and he's given something that would just radiate out of our lives. And Jesus wants us to help identify areas, as we went through the ship, of places where that river has been dammed up. We watched a movie the other day. And it was about a family who was in their upper 30s, and they wanted to have kids. So they went to foster care. Yes, that's right, foster care. And they went up there, and there was this gal in the foster care, and their two parents brought in one of their foster children. The children sit up there, and she began to testify of how this family made an impact on her life. And she said, you know, even though I was struggling with drugs, and even though I cussed them out, and even though they were always there and they loved me, and they carried me through. So this young couple over here, they said, oh, that's so great. I'm going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to become foster parents. We're going to change their lives. We're going to come in there and we're going to, and they were. That's like, what did he say? What was he saying? Like, give me a yee-hoo or give me a woo-hoo. Give me a woo-hoo. No, I'm probably not. Give me a woo-hoo, Willie. Give me a woo-hoo. Come on, man. You're holding up. We got to get going. Woo-hoo. Oh, come on. Give me a louder one. What do you mean, no? Jake.
Woo-hoo.
There we go. So they're in the truck pumping themselves up, right? So they went to this, long story short, they found this teenager, and nobody wants teenagers because teenagers are, yeah. So, but they said, you know what? I'm sick of this. No one's going over there. The guy just said, I'm going over there. And he marches up, and this girl stands up and stop. Listen. I don't need your pity. I don't need your whatever. Go over there. If you just want to come over here and make yourself feel good, go somewhere else. We're fine. We're good. And they just stood there and they're like, wow. They walked away. And they ended up adopting that girl. But she came with two others. Woohoo! So they begin to work with these kids. And in the first couple weeks, you know, it's great. You know, they're all good kids. Oh, thank you for all this. Real simple. Right? And then all of a sudden, the tantrum started, right? They began to get upset. They went to the store, and then she wanted a Barbie doll. This young, I don't know if she was two or three or whatever, and she wanted a Barbie doll, and she screamed, I want that Barbie doll. And here, the parents are like, what is going on? How do we deal with this? The teenager locks herself up in the door, begins to cuss out the parents and all that stuff. Well, what is going on? Right? Woohoo! Where's the center? They went into the situation and with good intentions. They were driven by an intention to change someone's life, but then they found out that they were having to deal, it was a lot more work and it was a lot more intensity than they ever thought, and they began to get drained. And they were laying in the bed one night and they said, how do we get rid of these kids? Woohoo! What do I do to get rid of these kids? And then they lay down in bed and they started thinking about the children. They started thinking about that and they said, we can't do that. So they went back and they found the parents of this other child that they had their testimony. They shared her testimony and said, well, where's that child? We want to talk to her because we need to get a jolt. And they said, she's not here right now. She's in rehab. They go, what? You guys came here and you guys just made it all sound so great and stuff like that. And they said, listen, you want to come here and you want to say all these things, you want to feel good about yourself, but you know what? It's not easy. It's not easy to raise people. It's not easy to raise people, but you know what you can do? You can give them everything you got. You can love them as much as you can, and whenever they come back, you say, for that moment of time, I gave them everything I had. And if they come back or if they go away, no matter what, it would never change. And she's got to do what she's got to do. But one thing that's going to stay constant in our lives is that we're going to continue to love that child. And that's what carries you. Come on, and then those two parents are just like, man, you're so good at speaking, thank you so much. Because they knew no matter what those kids put them through, no matter what torment and whatever it is, whatever excuse, they made up their mind that night that they were going to love those kids through whatever treatment they went through. And the end of the story, and that's it's a long story, but things began to break off for those kids. Because for years and years, parents would try to begin to work on that, and they would lose it. Why? Because the center was not the center. Love endures, love patient. Jesus endured with you. Come on, some of you are just a wreck, including myself. And it was years, it could have been many years, that you fought. It wasn't against man, you fought against God. And he continually extended his hand of grace to you. He never dropped it, not once. His invitation was always there for you the whole time. And he wouldn't relent. The freight train would not relent, and that's what breaks the yoke of bondage. That's where taking people in and extending the hands of grace, but it has to become, I'm not going to ask you and compel people, say, well, go out and do this and go that, but you got to know something. You don't do it for expectations out what they might do. You have to know, no matter what this person do, I make a decision to love them with the love that I have received. As Christ loved me, I cannot lose. If I would allow the situation to dictate my love, I would lose that which what I have gained. I would have lost the perception and reality of the love of God that I have received, and I would have grown cold from all of that. He said, do this regularly. Teach people regularly. Constantly go back to the thing that I commanded you. That's why John, when he goes into there, he begins to speak about the love of God that changed the world. He said, I am going to focus on that main thing. The one thing that never changed throughout my life, one thing that was constant, was the love of God that was unconditional, that kept me and that walked me through it all the whole time. Come on. How powerful is that? How powerful is that? So when you begin to work with people, including your kids or your family, I mean, it can be so exhausting. You know, I was watching the news the other day, and somebody took a 3-year-old kid, or was it a 5-year-old kid? Oh, so you know the story. And threw him off the balcony. I was so mad. I was like, what? What kind of guy? I said, Jen, you know, I'd like to think of myself as a nice guy, but honestly, if I saw that, I think I would hurt someone. I said, why would you take a 5-year-old and throw him off the thing? And immediately I began to feel for that child. I didn't know the child. He didn't deserve on that. He's just innocent. And here's the thing. I had more scriptures, but this is where I feel like it's going. Jesus said, when he said, would you do this to the least of these, and I'm going to share maybe that scripture, because I think that's where this is going. It's in Matthew 25. And verse 34, it says, the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed of the Father. Take your inheritance and kingdom and prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. And I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And they said, when did we see you this? And the Lord said, when you did this to the stranger, you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. He goes on to say. So I wonder how God feels about that person that you work with. I wonder how God feels about this, your husband, your wife, or whatever, the situation where you just, I wonder how God feels about those that are lost and those that are amongst us that need a little love, need a little guidance, need some food. I'm not talking about just food naturally. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about, how does he feel? How would you feel if we put Hadassah up here, and her parents weren't here? Parents were gone. Jesus isn't on earth. God's not in heaven, but his kids are down here. Who's going to take care of her? Who's going to minister to her? Who's going to share the love of God with her? Who's going to show her the truth about her identity and how much God in heaven loves this girl? Who's going to do that? Part of your existence on earth and heaven is to share that, because he's in you. And if you don't do this, and here's the testimony of these two parents in the movie. At first, when they did it kind of out of guilt, and they thought it would make them feel good. But when they wrote the letter, they said this. So good. They said, when we began to do this, we realized that there was a part of our life that was missing. There was a part of our life that was missing. Jesus said, guard, by continually teaching, doing this, there's a part of our life that is missing when the rivers of love and God are not flowing out of us into our family, into our community. There's a part of our life that is missing. It's not out of guilt. It's not out of compulsion. Of course, I should be a good dad. But God has his children lined up all over the world. And he said, this is the love that I would ask. And then he said, the ministry that I would give you, that you would do this for them. Who's going to show these people the true and honest love of God? First of all, it has to be in you, because you received it. You have to know that your God, the thing that you received, was not because of your behavior. If you think it was because of your behavior, you're going to look at that kid, and if they don't behave right, you're going to take it away. You're going to say, you know what? It's not worth it. But if you know that God, through his son Jesus Christ, never gave up on you, he was there with you the whole time, trying to walk with you, holding you through that, and you received that, and he gave you the breakthrough, you realize that from that place that you're going to continue to love that person, maybe in different ways, but you just don't stop loving. You may have to send them to rehab. They may have to go through something very difficult. But the truth is, we can continue to love the people the way God loved us. And in that place, you will be guarded, you will be protected, you will be living in the very existence of our Creator in heaven. We come into alignment with the truth of who we really are meant to be. I don't have to stop loving my neighbor. I don't have to stop. Things may change. But a part of you is missing. Here's what I feel like has happened. Part of us has been gone missing. Jesus took them out. The part of the teaching that was so remarkable about Jesus is that he lived life with them and his disciples, and he took them out on the storm. And you remember when he took them out on the boat, and they were out there, and things were going crazy, as Daniel was saying a few weeks ago, like all hell was breaking loose in their lives, and traumatized were coming. And we looked up to Jesus and said, "Teacher," he was sleeping in the boat. He said, "Teacher, aren't you going to do something? Don't you care?" Right? What was he doing? He was training them. He was telling them. He was saying, and he said, "Where's your faith? I thought you would have known by now that in you, you have the ability to speak to the storm. I thought you would have realized by now." He said, "Where's your faith? I thought you would know now, as a father, you could speak over your family. You could declare and decree over your family the love that I've given you, the commandment, the authority, as he said in the scripture, that I've given all authority and power. Now go. I taught you. I told you. I thought by now you would begin to release my kingdom on earth. I thought you would know by now." So he allows the storm to keep coming. You say, "God, take me out of the storm." He says, "I'm not taking you out of the storm. I want you to speak to the storm. I want you to know who you really are. I need you to be my ambassador on earth. I need you to decree and declare the truth of who I am in your life. I need you to experience this with me now. Because tell you the truth, somebody did it for you. How many people here have mentored me? How many people here have spoken to my life?" I remember Dan Ricks. And he said I could share this, but he doesn't know what I'm going to share. We went to his favorite restaurant, Taco John's. And I remember I was struggling with unforgiveness. And I began to share my story. He probably doesn't remember this. That's okay. But I do. And I began to share a story. I said, "Listen, I'm in this situation. I'm having a hard time forgiving, but I really care about this person." And Dan looked at me. He said, "Well, you know what the problem is? You're selfish." "Did you feel the love?" You know, I know Dan loves me. And when he said that, and you know, this is why the center needs to be the center. It spoke to something to me. God revealed, began to speak through me through that. And Dan, you maybe not even realize what you're doing with people, but God said, "You know, were you any better?" It's just like, whoa, okay, you got me. "Do you remember the love that I gave you? Do you remember the very thing? Go back to the beginning. I loved you. Go back to that to protect and guard from what's lost by staying there." And from there, I was allowed to allow the love of God to flow out of me and say, "You know what? I'm sorry, God." And really, I was apologizing to God, really. Because I allowed something to affect our relationship. I allowed the storm. When I was in the storm, like the disciples, "This is a bad situation. This isn't going to work. I've been here before, da, 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 da." He began to go through all the world. But he said, "Don't you know you're not from this world? Don't you know that heaven lives in you? Don't you know that me and you is a majority? Christ with you is a majority. Don't you know that you have all the love? Don't you know you have the Spirit, all the joy, everything already inside of you? I allowed this situation to come so that would come out of you." Everything works to your benefit for those who are in Christ. Everything. That excites me. Part of mentoring people and bringing them into that is to bring them into truth that you can take personal responsibility for your doubt and disbelief and come into agreement with heaven and say, "God, I'm sorry for doubting you. Lord, I'm sorry for looking this way in the situation." You can come a new thought. Go back to the first part, repentance. And I can say, "God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for looking at people in the world's eye. I'm sorry, Lord, that I did not listen, or I did not allow myself to be used here because I had my own agenda. There is something missing. Let's stand here this morning. I want to pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord God, you are so good. You are so good. As we were singing that song this morning, he is so good. He's not condemning. The Holy Spirit comes in and sometimes he convicts us of just our righteousness. That, you know what, we are the righteousness here on earth in Christ Jesus. That means what? All of heaven, everything can come in alignment because we can repent and through the cross we can have a newness of life and we live it here on earth. So Father God, right now, whatever part, Lord Jesus, and we're talking about those around us, God, those that you've entrusted in our lives. There are people in here who are to be mentors of young men. God called you to be a mentor of young men. That was a word in this house for somebody. God called you to be a mentor of young women, a minister to those who are broken. And part of that flow is the first that you would identify yourself as one that is totally forgiven. It wasn't because you earned it. And you fell in love with God and you said, Lord, I will do this for you because, Lord, you gave it to me. I'm doing this unto you. And regardless how people take your advice, regardless of the treatment that you go through when you demonstrate your goodness, God, I'm going to continue to do it because you did it for me. And what I feel is happening right now is a revival of the love and the power of God in your personal life. It was an assignment and a mission, and a part of you is missing until we accept it, until we receive it, and we come into alignment with it. Life is not the same. The joy is not the same because we're not in alignment to how he sees us. And he says, could this be, God, that you want to use me? Joyce Myers is a mighty woman of God, but she went through hell on earth. And she, God, if you want to use me, you could use me. And God's using her. And the very simple question you have to ask yourself this morning when it comes to working with people, including yourself, is to say, God, do you want to use me? You can use me. But quite honestly, there's times where I don't feel so good about myself. And I really believe right now God's just saying, I love you so much. You have no idea. Allow me to come in. I've never changed my mind about you for 2 seconds. Never will. I don't change my mind. You change. You come into alignment. You come into freedom. You come into salvation through my son, Jesus. And now I am excited to reveal myself to you right now. I see breakthroughs. I see a passion and a renewing of hearts right now for the lost. God's children are all out there. The lost are all out there. And it's a smile. It's a prayer. It's a joy. It's not a burden. It's the truth. Father, I thank you for the truth of God right now, touching our hearts and rekindling the fire of God that renews our strength and the joy of the Lord. Father, that we would just love people on the honest truth is when that kid was thrown from that fifth floor, Lord Jesus, my heart broke. May our hearts break again, but may our hearts be trusted in you, Father God, that you can heal the brokenhearted, not us. God, that there are invitations all around us, Lord, to save the wounded, to save the hurt. It's not a burden. It's just because you're so beautiful and loving, Lord God. And you did it for me. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your love. And I thank you for your message, Lord, that you're relentless on showing us the truth in your love continually and continually and continually. Because I don't always love myself. God, but you keep bringing me back. You say, hey, Tom, you know what? I love you. Oh, yeah. I know you don't feel good about that last part of your life there, whatever happened. But hey, no shame, no blame. Let's do this. There's this guy over here I want you to talk to, or this person I want you to invest a little bit in. Or you're a good guy. Come on, let's move it. Let's do it. You can do it. So we thank you for the encouragement, Lord. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Welcome.
Lunch. The challenge again is to change. I had an individual that I talked with using this card, talking with him, and he was struggling. He was majorly struggling. majorly struggling. And I said, I'm going to give you this card, but I know that you're not going to do it. He looked at me like, well, how do you know that? Because I said, through your conversation with me, I knew that you weren't going to do it. And after, I mean, it's kind of like the obedience deal is, you know, we used to have daily readings for Bible school, and that was tough, man. You'd read the daily readings. If you missed one, it was 40 minutes. If you missed three of them, the first was about 20 minutes. If you missed one, it was 40 minutes. If you're a fairly decent reader, 60 minutes. If you missed three of them, you had to take an hour, and then you had all these other books that you're trying to read. It was wild. So, you know, it just takes some of that obedience. Maybe getting up in the morning, what Tom talked about, I'm born again. You know, two weeks ago, I'm born again. I have a new creation on the inside of me. And I'm finding out every day I read the Word of God, it's like He always talks to me. But if it's kind of a forced deal, like, okay, the Bible school, you have to read it, you have to read it. That's like, it's work. And it just gets to be real difficult. But if you wake up with that thought, well, I'm born again, I'm going to find out what born again people do, and just take that 20 minutes and read the Word of God. You don't even have to do that. You can go on your phones now and you can listen to the Word of God. And so I think that's the challenge, is will we wake up that I have repented? And that means I've turned from my old, and I was so bad off. I mean, just think about it. I was paralyzed from the neck down, wasn't smart enough to go to the Word of God, but it was the only way that I was going to get any type of help. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because I wouldn't do it. Now, I could have did it, but I just didn't do it. And so when I did it, 3 months later, things just totally changed. And I was born again. I'm going, I'm born again. You know, going to church on Thursday night was we used to call it victory night. Man, we would fight to get to church on Thursday night. We literally fought to the church, Sandra and myself, and trying to keep it from the kids. But, you know, if we have the instructions in front of us, let's try to accomplish them instructions. And another thing, it's good conversation when you run into one person that is doing daily reading, you're on the same wavelength. You know what I'm saying? Wow, yeah, that was, why did they do that anyway? You know, the Old Testament, I'm usually at least once a reading, I'm going, why in the world did they do that? But so maybe that's our challenge. And in this prayer, Father, we ask, Lord, for the challenge that we will change as a game changer. And Lord, that if we could be a coach or be coached, it's very important to be both. Because just like Tom was talking about, this couple that took these kids on, foster kids on, they were not only a coach, parents, but they were being coached, God. And so, Father, we ask, Lord, that these things could really grab our hearts. And I think about Elevate and what they're trying to do in the city and talking about the kids that are there. And it's not about church. Most of them aren't even church. I mean, something got to grab a hold of. Somebody has to have a heart and grab a hold of the thing, and you know, and love them kids. And I know that Marvin Anderson was a tough old bird, and he got saved, and he became our 10th grade confirmation / Sunday school / everything else. But I knew the guy, he was scared me because his hand was so big, if he'd hit you in the head, you might not have a head left. But he gained our respect because something had happened to him. Something had happened to him. And you know, that's your deal. Something's gonna happen when you give that type of love to anyone that you're working with. And thank you, Lord, for the, or thank you, Tom, Lord Ramsey, for that message. God bless you. You're dismissed. If you're needing prayer in any way, shape, or form, please come forward and we'll pray for you, all right? God bless you. Have a great week in God.